Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It sure is. Good on you, Sam. Thank you for that. We'll have Gareth Hall coming up very shortly. He'll give you a tip for the weekend. He is the host of Giddy Up on the SEN Track Network. Obviously, the text line has been dominated by David Warner after the issuing of his statement overnight. One man who is very close to him, obviously, is a legend of Australian sport and management, James Erskine. He's the chairman of SEL. He's David Warner's manager, and he's been good enough to join us on the line today. G'day, James.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm really well. How are you? What sort of discussions did you have with David and family prior to the statement that went out last night?
Well, not. I had one quick conversation with David yesterday. He makes up his own mind on all sorts of things, but I think he's just fed up of the process and, you know, the trauma that the original decisions, you know, up in South Africa to his family and Candice and, you know, et cetera. I mean, she lost a baby because of it. I think it's odd, you know. I don't quite understand the process myself. You know, if you think about, they did the Roy report that was the most unbelievable sort of confidential report that never got shown to anybody. So what's in that? Who knows? And then, of course, they want this open court on the review. When you get banned for life with no appeal, I don't think that can be legal. It's impossible. You can murder 25 people and basically get an appeal and go have a second trial. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, or certainly have an appeal process.
Yeah.
So I really don't understand it. I mean, on my advice, you know, when David came to me in December, the year of the sandpaper gate, I told him that to shut up and say nothing.
Yep.
And I told him that for the simple reason is that the shareholders of cricket, which isn't Cricket Australia, it isn't the players, the shareholders of cricket are the general public that basically want to buy tickets to go and see people play cricket. And that team at that stage, with the way they behaved, was not very popular.
Yep.
You know, you can't behave like that and be popular. Now, the Prime Minister came out, Turnbull came out very smartly and sort of said, yeah, this is a disgrace and whatever. And I think he regrets those comments now because Cricket Australia then, you know, had that whole process, the Roy report, done in 4 days. Now, you know, you'd have to be a blind black Labrador to not realize there was far more than three people involved in this thing. And you know, they all got a caning and basically David Warner was, you know, completely villainized. Now that's, and he has shut up. He's protected Cricket Australia. He's protected his fellow players and whatever it might be on my advice, because at the end of the day, no one wanted to hear any more of it. And he's got on playing cricket.
Mm.
So why Cricket Australia couldn't have done a very sensible thing and just said, listen, it's not legal to basically have somebody, there's no right of appeal. So we're changing that. The board turned around, interviewed David and say to him, listen, okay, fine, go back and you can, you know, you're eligible to captain your country. They're the same people that banned him for life. It's just absurd.
Yeah.
Why should he have to go through that? Why should he? He has done everything he possibly could for Cricket Australia and for his team, and he's now being treated like this. I hate, there's one thing in life I hate is injustice. We've all had it, you know, being told at school that you were the one that were talking or someone stole a pencil and you didn't do it. I mean, and this is injustice at its greatest level.
James, do you get the sense, James, do you get the sense that this is exactly what Cricket Australia wanted, for David to finally throw his arms up and say, look, don't worry about it?
Well, if you're being Machiavellian, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think in fairness, Cricket Australia, and I have spoken to Nick Hockley, I mean, Cricket Australia didn't want to have it, you know, they wanted a closed hearing. But, you know, so why the devil? I mean, these people have been chosen and hired by, I mean, they only get small stipends, but they've been hired by Cricket Australia. So why wouldn't they just say we're doing it, having a closed situation?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, had David turned around and, you know, put his family through more, he could have just basically told everybody exactly what happened.
James.
They were asking the questions.
Yeah. James, it's going to make a hell of a book.
Well, look, I think the thing about this is that David Warner has basically, whatever, he's 35 years old, he's got another 30 years of working. And the one thing you want when you've been a major sportsman and a, you know, and given a lot of enjoyment to other people, you want respect. And you get respect by doing the right thing. And David Warner, sure, that they didn't do the right thing. But when the truth comes out, everyone's going to turn around and say, well, why was David Warner picked upon? And I just think that, you know, I just think that Cricket Australia have made it so difficult. And you know, they've been sitting on the fence. They will have splinters in their ass. Yeah. I mean, they just have to basically be, they have to have a symbiotic relationship in the future with their players. This master-slave relationship is just bloody bollocks.
James, if David doesn't write the book, and recognising that he does have a, you know, another 30 years of work in front of him, how does the truth come out?
Well, the truth will come out. I mean, let me tell you. I mean, someone will. I mean, there's lots of people. You know, there's two cricketers who said at the time, put their hands up, said, why don't we all just tell the truth? They can't fire all of us. You know? So, I mean, that's what's happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Two senior executives, you know, were in the changing room in Hobart, and basically were berating the team for losing against South Africa. And Warner said that we've got to reverse swing the ball, and the only way we can reverse swing the ball is basically by tampering with it. So they were told to do it.
And so that was the test match when Faf du Plessis was sanctioned, and I think missed the following test match at Adelaide, the captain of the South African team that had just won.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm completely against it. I think tampering with balls is a joke, but it's gone on for centuries. Atherton bit it. That, you know, everybody's been fiddling around with balls. And the penalty at the time was by the ICC was a one-match ban.
That's right.
Now, you know, that I'm not suggesting that that's right, because I don't think you should tamper with the ball. I mean, no one would tamper with a ball in golf. You know, they've done it with NFL where they let the ball down and stuff like that. But, you know, it's not exactly, this was blown out of all proportions, partly because the Prime Minister, but partly the total reaction of the general public.
Yes.
And I totally agree. It wasn't something that was good.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's gone to the stage where three people have been completely victimised above everybody else. And it's not fair.
A clear case sorry, James. The clearest case of the tail wagging the dog I think I've ever seen in Australian sport. We've got to go, but I want to ask you this question, James, and I know you're busy, but it seems an incredible summer and we don't have Shane Warne around. How do you feel about that?
Well, look, I think it's really sad. I mean, I'm still shocked by it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he was one of the greatest sportsmen that I've ever had the privilege of being involved with. I've had a few, you know, Muhammad Ali and all, you know, Arnold Palmer and Nicholas, yeah. Gary Player and all these, you know, Borg, McEnroe. But the thing I loved about Warney more than anything else is he basically at the end of the day treated everybody exactly the same.
Yeah.
So he would wait for the Tyler to come off the roof to give his autograph on his tin hat, and he'd just wait there puffing a fag. If it took him 15 minutes to unchain himself, that's what he would do.
Yeah.
So he was he's a hero of mine.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It seems amazing that he's not with us. You're quite right. James, really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Take care. Bye.
James Erskine there, chairman of SEL, manager of David Warner. Love to get your thoughts on his thoughts. You forget about those things. Candace Warner miscarries. David Warner has been held out to account when everyone else in that dressing room wasn't. We talk about it a lot on this program. If you're a bowler, I played a lot of cricket. I was a slow opening bowler. You stare at the ball, every ball, when you walk back to your mark. But only three people were involved. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.